Today, choppy markets feeling the pain as more data confuses again. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics from Latest Post covering finance and property news. In this show, we look across the market action, starting in the US, then Europe, Asia and Australia, and also touch on commodities and crypto, not least because this all helps me to get my thoughts in order as to what's really going on. Top line though, this past week's performance on the markets continues to fluctuate as new data emerges and continues the mixed signals that we've been seeing all year as central banks remain data dependent. MSCI's Global Equities Index staged an afternoon rebound on Friday as investors repositioned for month end while the dollar fell with Treasury yields as data showed a modest rise in US inflation in April. After spending most of the session in the red, the MSCI All Country World Price Index turned positive ahead of a rebalance of the index. And when Wall Street trading ended, the global index was up 0.57%, having fallen earlier. For the week, the MSCI index was showing its second consecutive decline, but still a monthly gain. In the end on Friday, US stocks were mostly higher later in the day, having reversed a morning swoon, helped by traders truing up on the final day of trading in May, although the tech leaders fluctuated after rallying strongly for most of the last 5 weeks. Over the last 5 days, the Dow Jones Industrial Average continued to show weakness, having at one point slumped by 3.99% to 38,111. That was a level last seen at the end of January and again at the beginning of May, after which the index touched a new all-time high of 40,000 in the middle of May. But on Friday, the Dow surged off its early losses to finish 1.51% higher to 38,686, its biggest daily percentage gain since November 2023, as month-end repositioning drove a late sharp rally. The S&P 500 gained 0.8% to 5,277. That's the highest monthly close. And the Nasdaq Composite was just slightly lower at 16,735, having been a lot lower until the final minutes of the session. The VIX tumbled 10.71% to 1,292. So for the month, the S&P 500 rose about 4.8%. The Nasdaq jumped 6.9% and the Dow climbed 2.4%. Nvidia, which has driven most of the rally, was down 0.8%, paring earlier losses of slightly more than 2%. Still, it surged more than 30% in the last month. Dell, on the other hand, shed 17.9% after its results disappointed. That said, the equal weight view of the market shows just how distorted it has become, with a small number of tech stocks supporting the otherwise weaker outlook, as signals indicate the US economy really is starting to slow. The Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, which monitors the health of manufacturing in the Chicago region, for example, fell to 35.4 from 37.9 last month and was still below the economists' expectations of 41. Pending home sales slumped 7.7% in April. That's another indicator of potential economic weakness. But Thursday's US jobless claims report was mostly in line with the market forecast, with the number of people claiming unemployment benefit in the US up by 3,000 towards 219,000 in the week ended the 25th of May. That's slightly above market expectations of 218,000. Although the initial claims count remains below the high levels seen in May, it is still significantly higher than the average numbers from February to April, reflecting again a softening in the US labour market. While demand for workers is still healthy, the pace of wage growth is cooling. Overall income rose 0.3% in April. Wages, salaries advanced by 0.2%. That's the smallest gain in 5 months. Consumer spending, which accounts for more than two-thirds of US economic activity, increased by 0.2% in April after a downwardly revised 0.7% rise in March. And revised US gross domestic product data released on Thursday showed consumer spending moderating to a 2% pace in the first quarter from a brisk 3.3% pace in the October to December period. The US economy expanded at an annualized rate of 1.3% in the first quarter, down from the initial estimate of 1.6%. The second estimate matched market forecasts and indicated the lowest growth since the beginning of 2022. Before the market opened on Friday, the US Commerce Department said that the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, the PCE, widely seen as the Federal Reserve's favored inflation indicator, increased by 0.3% last month, in line with expectations and the March increase, while core PCE, which strips out the volatile food and energy components, rose 0.2% compared with 0.3% in March. Monthly inflation readings of 0.2% over time will be needed to bring inflation back to target. This report confirms sticky inflation is still showing, and central bankers pay close attention to services inflation, excluding housing and energy, which tends to be the most sticky. That metric climbed 0.3% after rising 0.4% in March, according to the BEA. In the 12 months through April, the PCE price index rose 2.7% after advancing by the same pace in March. Actually, the year-over-year advance in the core PCE deflator held steady in April at 2.8%, though barely, as the unrounded figure was actually 2.754%. Rounding giveth and rounding taketh away. I look forward to the day when I don't have to go out two or three decimal places in the monthly inflation data to find the good news, said Fed Governor Christopher Waller last week. And as May comes to an end, investors should prepare themselves for fresh volatility in June, which has a reputation for being one of the toughest months of the year for stock markets. In fact, since 1990, the S&P 500 has declined an average of about 0.4% in June, and this year might be the same. Looking ahead, with household debt hitting a record, consumer confidence generally trending lower, and interest rates at a two-decade high, it remains to be seen to what extent consumers will continue powering the economy. Real disposable income, the main support of consumer spending, fell 0.1% in April, the second decline in the last 3 months, and the savings rate held at 3.6%, matching the lowest since the end of 2022. In Treasuries, yields fell after the signs of inflation stabilising in April, suggesting to some that the potential for the Fed to cut rates later this year does remain intact. The yield on benchmark 10-year notes fell to 4.503 from 4.554% late on Thursday, while the 30-year bond yield fell to 4.650 from 4.685%. And the two-year note, which typically moves in step with interest rate expectations, fell to 4.877% from 4.929% late on Thursday. The chances of a rate cut by the Federal Reserve in November has increased. Currently, markets see a 63% chance that the regulator will hold interest rates steady and over a 50% probability of at least one 25 basis point rate cut this year. In currencies, the dollar index, which measures the greenback against the basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, fell slightly to 104.63 and was showing its first monthly decline in 2024. On the energy front, oil prices fell as traders focused on Sunday's OPEC Plus meeting, which is expected to determine the fate of the producer group output cuts. US crude settled down 0.94% to $77.17 a barrel, and Brent settled at $81.33, down 0.62% on the day. During January and February, the latest months for which data is available, US refineries ran at an average 86% of their combined processing capacity of 18.1 million barrels per day, according to the US Energy Information Administration. US crude oil refiners aim to operate about 90% of their combined processing capacity for the remainder of the quarter after completing planned overhauls. Strong spring production levels had retail gasoline prices on par with a year ago, according to the Motorist Group AAA. The nationwide average price for a gallon of regular gasoline was $3.559 on Friday, just below the $3.576 of a year ago, according to the AAA. Gold futures fell 0.79% to $2,347.80 an ounce on the day, but still held its straight monthly gain. Additionally, the Reserve Bank of India purchased just over 100 tonnes of gold from the UK, according to the Times of India. China and India have recently increased their gold reserves in domestic storage. There is speculation that countries may secure themselves by accumulating gold in case of potential external threats. European stock markets traded in a mixed fashion in tight ranges as investors waited key inflation data for guidance on the future path of global monetary policy. The DAX index in Germany traded slightly lower, while the CAC 40 in France rose just 0.18% and the FTSE in London gained 0.54%. Ratings agency S&P downgraded France's credit score for the first time since 2013, citing a deterioration in the country's budgetary position. Of course, the cost of big debts is rising. Eurozone CPI rose to 2.6% in May from 2.4% the prior month, but a higher-than-expected print does not seem to sway market bets of an interest rate cut from the ECB next week. Core inflation, excluding the volatile effects of energy, food, alcohol and tobacco, increased to 2.9% from 2.7% in April, and a Reuters poll of economists had projected a flat reading. The data comes with the ECB widely expected to cut interest rates at its June 6th meeting, the first reduction since 2019. The central bank for the 20-nation euro area began its latest hiking cycle in July 2022, lifting rates out of negative territory to 4% at present. Any deviation from a 25 basis point cut at the ECB's June meeting would, of course, be a major shock to markets, following weeks of strong signalling from policymakers. And in the wake of the reading, money markets continue to fully price in a June cut, followed by just one more reduction in 2024. Fluctuations in the rate have been forecast over the coming months due to base effects from the energy market and the unwinding of government fiscal support schemes across the bloc. Overall, the headline figure has cooled significantly from a peak of 10.6% in October 2022, languishing below 3% for the past 8 straight months. However, ECB members may pay greater attention to the rate of services inflation, that's a key indicator of domestic inflation pressures, which rose to 4.1% from 3.7%. Markets are pricing in around 60 basis points of cuts from the ECB this year, but data released earlier on Friday show that German retail sales slumped 1.2% in the month of April, indicating that consumers remain under stress in the Eurozone's largest economy. And in the UK, where the general election campaign is in full fling, UK house prices returned to growth as markets showed signs of resilience, with rates more than doubling to an annual rate of 1.3% in May from 0.6% in the prior month. And the average property price rose to £264,249, according to Nationwide. It all comes after slight increases in mortgage rates since the start of the year slowed the housing market through March and April. According to Moneyfacts, at the end of January, the average two-year fixed-rate mortgage cost 5.56%, but has risen to 5.92% by the end of May. Monthly data released on Friday by the Bank of England, though, showed that the activity in the housing market held steady in April, with 61,100 new mortgages approved by lenders, a figure little changed from the March tally. However, the number of people who remortgaged decreased from 33,500 to 29,900 over the same period. And the bank data show that mortgage borrowing rose in April by a net £2.4 billion, compared with a net increase of £500 million in March. The April figure was 0.2% higher than a year before, in the first positive reading since October 2022. The effective interest rate, the rate actually paid on newly drawn mortgages, was only marginally higher in April than it was in March at 4.74%, according to the bank. Experts think that the Bank of England is likely to cut interest rates in August or September on the back of cooling inflation. The headline rate eased to 2.3% in the 12 months to April 2024, down from 3.2% in the 12 months to March. Over in Asia, most Asian stocks rose slightly on Friday, but were set from middling performance across May as fears of high interest rates and inflation battered sentiment towards equity markets. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices both slid slightly on Friday as purchasing managers' index data showed a deterioration in business activity. China's manufacturing PMI slipped back into contraction in May, while non-manufacturing PMI grew at a slightly lower than expected pace, indicating that a boost from earlier stimulus measures was now running dry. But the weak readings ramped up hopes that Beijing would dole out yet more policy support for the economy, especially after the government rolled out a barrage of supportive measures through May. There could be increased urgency to expedite the rollout of trade policies and other policies to support consumption and investment to keep the economy on track to reach its 5% growth target this year, according to ING analysts. And in fact, stocks finished pretty flat through May as a rebound from multi-year lows stalled in recent weeks. Hong Kong stocks fell 0.83%, even as investors bought into heavily discounted heavyweight technology stocks. The Hang Seng was still by far the best performer in Asia through May, up nearly 4% for the month as investors sought more exposure to a potential Chinese economic recovery. Japan's Nikkei 225 index rose 1.27%, while the broader topics added 0.7% as consumer price data from Tokyo showed a mild increase in inflation. Both indices were flat in May as they wallowed below record highs hit earlier in 2024. In fact, Tokyo consumer price index inflation grew as expected in May amid some pickup in spending, but still remained around levels that spurred persistent doubts about the Bank of Japan's plans to raise interest rates further this year. Core CPI inflation, which excludes volatile fresh food prices, grew 1.9% in May, according to official data released on Friday. The reading was in line with expectations and picked up from the 1.6% seen in April. Headline CPI inflation grew at 2.2%, improving from the 1.8% seen in April, and a core inflation reading that excludes both fresh food and energy prices and is watched closely by the Bank of Japan fell to 1.7% in May from 1.8% in the prior month, remaining well below the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. The soft inflation figures comes amid a sharp slowdown in Japanese consumer spending over the past few months, which also factored into softer than expected economic growth figures for the first quarter. South Korea's KOSPI fell 0.3% on Friday and has lost around 2% across May, hit by a rout in heavyweight chip-making stocks as doubts over artificial intelligence grow. India's Nifty 50 index ended up 0.19% on Friday after the index fell sharply from record highs this week. Jitters over the 2024 general election put the Nifty on course for mild losses across May, with the results of the election due on June the 4th. Australian shares snapped a three-day losing streak on Friday, sending the S&P ASX 200 up 0.96% to 7,701 points. It was flat through May, though, amid growing concerns that the Australian economy was cooling due to sticky inflation and high interest rates. The monthly inflation read was a little higher and stickier than expected, pushing rate cuts well into 2025. For the week, the benchmark index finished down 0.3%, while the yield on two-year Australian bonds rose 0.61% to 4.152, and the Aussie was at 66.53 cents against the US dollar and 52.21 against the UK pound. On the ASX, every sector finished higher, except the interest rate-sensitive property sector, which lost 0.2%. The best-performing sector on the day was consumer staples, boosted by a 2.8% rise for Treasury Wine Estates to $11.33. Baker Cheese surged 6.2% to $4.46, and Woolworths rose 2% to $31.60. The best performing stock on the benchmark index was Telix Pharmaceuticals. It jumped 15.3% to $18.15 after broker Wilson's issued a positive note on the business and its latest clinical trial results. The biotech sensation has climbed around 1,380% in 5 years to give it a $5.4 billion valuation. The big four banks also finished higher, with Commonwealth Bank up 1.3% to $119.54, and ANZ climbed 1.2% to $28.25. Westpac and National Australia Bank both rose less than 1%. Seamless banking transactions need to be slowed to cut down on romance scams and other frauds, according to the head of financial conglomerate Suncorp, as their chief executive Steve Johnson acknowledged on Friday. This would not be a customer-friendly move, but it comes with federal regulators finding that $2.74 billion was lost in scams in 2023, with almost $201 million of that on romance scams alone. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars in the banking industry creating frictionless banking, Mrs. Johnson said. And what do you know? Scammers come along and it's gone before we can do anything about it. It's gone to crypto before we can even take the phone call. And Westpac is suing dozens of its insurers to recoup $400 million in policies the bank believes should have been paid out following the record penalty that was levied against it in 2020 for numerous anti-money laundering failures. The local banking giant has lobbed legal action against Zurich-based Chubb in the New South Wales Supreme Court, but there may be more, with proceedings perhaps underway involving 43 insurers, including AXA, Allianz, Zurich, and others. And finally, Bitcoin drifted through the week to be last at $67,713, down 0.69% in the past 24 hours. So overall, the data drops are creating confusing patterns for the markets, with fears of sticky inflation still very much to the fore, and with the US propped up by the AI tech sector despite broader concerns of a slowdown. Over the summer, often markets dilly and dally until the September-October hiatus, which often resets lower. And we'll see if this year does just the same. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.